Hello and welcome to Relationship Rewind on WERU FM 89.9 Blue Hill. I'm your host, Carrie Clark, she/her pronouns, the youth educator and advocate at Next Step Domestic Violence Project. Often young people are expected to just know how to be in relationships in healthy and equal ways, but we learn through the examples of relationships given to us, and a big place we see these examples is in the media we consume. That's why this show uses media like movies and TV shows to start conversations about harmful and unhealthy behaviors in the relationships portrayed. But this is not to pass judgment on the media we're discussing. Every month, we invite young people in Maine to give their perspective and to voice their thoughts, opinions, and experiences around what they've seen in media and how it has impacted them or the people they know. There are sensitive materials in and spoilers of the media we discuss. We are excited to have a returning guest this month. Cheyenne, they/them pronouns, is back to talk books as a bookstagrammer and reviewer. We will be discussing the Folk of the Air series by Holly Black, specifically the trilogy including The Cruel Prince, The Wicked King, and The Queen of Nothing. This series details the evolving relationship between Cardan, Prince of the Fairy Realm Elfheim, and mortal girl Jude. From enemies to lovers, power and control are focal elements of this relationship. If you would like to reach out to us for support or more information, please call Next Steps 24/7 and free helpline at 1-800-315-5579. I'd like to now introduce Cheyenne for our conversation about the Folk of the Air book series.
Hey again, everyone. I'm Cheyenne Robinson-Bauman. I use they/them pronouns, and I'm glad to be back. This time we're talking about, on a more personal level, books. I'm a huge book lover. I am a bookstagrammer, which means I have a book blog on Instagram. So feel free to follow me, queer_bookworm on Instagram. And I write book reviews and talk about books and make book recommendations and just make pretty book stacks and that kind of thing. And I talk about books all day. So I'm really glad to be here today to talk about the Folk of the Air series by Holly Black.
Can I just say really quick, I love your posts on Instagram. There's nothing more aesthetically pleasing to me than a beautiful stack of books. So I really love seeing your posts on there. And I'm always like writing down a list of the books that you have on there. So before we get into the books, can you just share a little bit about what your experience was like growing up and seeing relationships play out in movies and TV shows or
I'm thinking about a lot of like the popular books that were around when I was in high school. I'm not a big romance reader. I think if people have listened to the previous podcast, they'll know that I'm on the aromantic spectrum. I don't enjoy reading a lot of romantic stories. I just don't get it a lot of the time. I don't mind that there's romance in my stories as long as that's not what the story is about. So I feel like I don't have as many examples of romantic relationships because I focus more on found family and friendship and the plot of the book rather than the relationships in them. And I think the kind of books that I gravitate toward tend to have, if they have relationships in them, they tend to be healthier because that's what I like to read. There's a whole genre of books that are like dark romance that I stay far away from because that's not my thing at all.
I really appreciate that unique perspective, though, because I think it's one that we don't often get to hear about. So thank you for that. I have found myself, as I get older, moving away from those dark romantic things as well. And it's more about the plot for me as well. But I know for a lot of young people, it is all about that romance. And I know, because I'm an avid book reader as well. So any books that have like a wholesome relationship in them, mm-hmm. I love to see it. It's not something that you see very often. But yeah, so the Folk of the Air series, I have to tell you, I was a little hesitant to read these. Fantasy is not typically my genre. However, I have devoured these books. Thank you for the recommendation. Really, they're so great. So what was it about these books specifically that made you want to discuss them?
It's an extremely popular book in the bookstagram community. And I've seen so many people talk about Jude and Cardan, who are the main characters in the series, and love their relationship, love Cardan. And there's a whole thing on bookstagram about book boyfriends. and everybody wants Cardin to be their book boyfriend, and all of these dark, broody male characters being their book boyfriends and things like that. And so this really jumped out to me as the perfect thing to talk about. And that's because this relationship is super unhealthy, and it's not, as much as I love the book and love the characters, I do not recommend this relationship. This is not something that a teenager should be reading and thinking, this is what I want. Because it's not. It reminds me of Buffy and Spike from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, where we love these characters, we love this show, but that relationship is problematic.
Problematic is definitely putting it lightly, I think. And I gotta say, as much as I knew going into it, I'm like, what is going on as I'm reading? And then you're sort of like, Jude, why? But then I still got sucked into it. As an adult, reading this with the mentality of this is gonna be problematic, I know going into it that there's some toxicity here. I still got roped in and I still found myself rooting for these characters and even their relationship, even though I knew better.
That's
This
us as
wasn't
adults with fully formed
exactly.
brains understanding that. So think about this as a teenager who may not have experience with relationships and reading this book. That can have a totally different effect on them. So, yeah.
Exactly. So I think this was a perfect recommendation for us to talk about on our show. If you want to jump right in, is there like an example that made you think, whoa, this is
Yeah.
pretty toxic?
So I think the first thing I want to talk about is from book one, which is called The Cruel Prince. And this is where we meet our characters, where we meet Jude in the fairy realm. First of all, I want to say that the fairy realm, the portal to the fairy realm, is in Portland, Maine. So that's fun.
I was very excited to learn that as well.
Yeah. And so she's in the fairy realm as a kind of like a changeling. She's living there with among the fairies, immortal among the fairies. And Cardin is the prince, and he's cruel and a bully. He's the prince. He can get away with whatever he wants. And he is very much the bully of Jude and her sister, Taryn. And the reason why I wanted to bring this up in particular is because I think this perpetuates the idea of, well, he's mean to you because he likes you, because he is very cruel to her. Like, it's more than bullying. Like, it's really bad. And I think if this happened in real life, you'd be very concerned. And of course, he gets away with whatever he wants because he's the prince. And this is fairy, and they're mortals, and they don't really get as much credit. So I think that is the big problem I have with that. And he is horrible to her throughout this entire book until like the very, very end of the book, where he like kind of admits that he's attracted to her. And it kind of feels like it came out of nowhere. And also, like I said, the whole he's mean to you because he likes you. And I think that's something we tell little girls often. And so that gives girls this idea that boys are mean to them because they like them, and that's normal, that they should expect boys to be mean to them. And that's going to carry over once they're old enough to be in relationships, thinking, well, my boyfriend is mean to me because he loves me. That's where the power and control starts. And you're thinking, well, he's emotionally abusing me because he loves me. He's controlling me because he loves me. And we know that that is not what we want in relationships. That's not what we should be seeing.
That moves into this trope that I think that we see so often in our media of I absolutely loathe you, but secretly I'm in love with you, which
Yes.
does not make any sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense to me either. Like, that's one of the most common tropes, enemies to lovers. And that's probably the most popular romance trope in the Bookstagram community. Often people will say enemies to lovers is their favorite. And to me, like, it doesn't compute, because if I hate someone, if I really don't like them, I am absolutely not attracted to them, no matter how aesthetically pleasing they may be. It doesn't feel genuine. Like, has that actually happened in real life? Does that happen? I don't know. Maybe it happens and I don't know because I'm aromantic, but like, does that happen?
I try to put myself in those positions, right? And if somebody is constantly dogging me and constantly physically harming me or putting me in harm's way, I don't feel like it's realistic to expect those romantic feelings to ever have a chance to develop in the first place. And I know beauty has a lot to do with it too. And she says several times, like, he's so beautiful, I hate him. And it's like, what? Like,
Yeah.
it just, those two things just don't make sense. So you have to wonder if he was horrid looking and was doing all of these terrible things to her, would those romantic feelings have ever developed? I don't think so,
No. And
but
why
I
should
could
we
be.
use abusive behavior from someone just because they are physically attractive? I think that's also something we have to be aware of, that teenagers are absorbing the stuff that like attractive people are allowed to get away with this stuff. Like, I think the same is true when we talk about like the book 50 Shades of Grey, which is also extremely abusive.
I've seen the, I think it's a meme or something, and it says if 50 Shades of Grey had taken place in a trailer park, it would be a horror movie instead
Yes.
of a romance movie. And I think that's so true.
It's not just like that he was attractive, it's also that he was rich. Like, if he were poor and ugly, we'd be reading a very different book.
Exactly. That's a Lifetime movie then.
Yeah, exactly. So we have to think about like what we're actually depicting and what people are actually taking away from these things. And yeah, a lot of this has to do with Cardin being attractive and also a prince. I think it also matters that this author is white and the characters are all white. None of these characters are black. This may be very different if one of these characters was black. And I think we also have to think about that and how it would be depicted in a diverse way, because we also have to contend with those stereotypes. Because if Cardin were a black man, that might be taken very differently.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point. I think it's hard, right, when we read books because we kind of can imagine the characters how we want to. But I like thinking about it, you're right.
We make allowances for certain kinds of people and their behaviors. And if we're doing that in books and in media, then what are teenagers taking away from that? What are they learning to excuse in their lives?
Is there another specific example of the behavior between Cardin and Jude that you can think of,
I
to
think
say the
one of
least?
the glaring things to me is that Cardin is often trying to humiliate Jude, and not just like a cute little like embarrassment kind of thing, but like humiliate her, like debase her. And that is something that I think people don't think of a lot as an abuse tactic, but it most certainly is. Humiliation is on the teen power and control wheel. I think teens are very aware of like what's embarrassing because they're teenagers and everything's embarrassing. But when it crosses that line into humiliation to like push Jude into the stream in front of all of their peers and like throw fruit at them and all of these things. And even later in the series, when Jude is at one of the revels and is named the queen of the revel or something, and they make her do things that she wouldn't normally do. And that's huge. That's very humiliating. That's not something Jude would ever subject herself to unless she had no control. And I think the other thing is like this relationship is not, this is another thing that bothered me, is that this relationship isn't one-sided as far as the power and control goes, because Jude frequently tries to have power over Cardin as much as he tries to have power over her. And it's this back and forth kind of thing, which I think is also a problematic way to depict these relationships, because we know that in power control relationships, one person has more power and control than the other. And in this situation, it's depicting them both as like, you know, that tug of war, that vying for power. It gives the illusion that all things are equal when they're both being a very unhealthy toward each other. I mean, it's to the point where like Jude eventually gets total control over Cardin when he becomes king, so that she can give him a command and he has no choice but to obey. And that is coercion. He does not have a choice. And we know that coercion is a big piece of power and control, especially in teen relationships. They're experiencing coercion all the time. And even stuff as simple as like asking somebody out on a date and they say no, and you keep asking them over and over and over again, that's coercion. And so we're seeing Cardin doesn't have a choice. And when you don't have a choice, you can't really give consent.
The thing with these books is that we actually have the benefit of the language here, where they're literally saying, like, I want this power over this person. I want that control, and I don't want to give that up. So it's very plain to see what they're doing. And in real life, we don't have, nobody's saying that, right? Nobody's saying, I want to control you. And so it's easy to see how in real life, where we're not saying that, but our actions are showing that those are the things that we want. I think it's so important for young people to see how that kind of mimics real life in a way that we're not actually seeing it said that way. It's not explicitly said that I want control control over you, but you're humiliating me, just like in this book.
Yeah, and I think this book has the virtue of being fantasy as a way to kind of excuse a lot of the stuff that's going on because it's magic. But if we picked these characters up and put them in a realistic contemporary setting, this would feel very different if Jude is coercing Cardin to do everything she says, or if we're seeing Cardin in a contemporary setting humiliating her in front of her peers and putting her down all the time. I think that would look very different and have a very different tone to it than it does in this fantastical setting of fairy.
They go to the mortal world several times in the book and they have to act differently. So it's not something that they would even, I mean, they have this magic, but when they have to go to the real world, they have to pretend like they don't have control over anybody else, or they don't have this magic. So I thought that was very interesting too, to see how they actually did react in the book to the real world, the human world.
Well, and it mirrors how people in those situations have to pretend when they go out in public, right? Because most of the time abusers understand that you can't act that way in public, somebody will notice. So you have to pretend that everything is normal, that everything is fine, and that there isn't any abuse happening. And you're going to hold off on saying the horrible things you would normally say to that person. And that's kind of what's happening there when they go to the mortal world. They're suddenly in public because they're not in that fantasy world anymore.
If you're just joining in, this is Relationship Rewind on WERU FM 89.9 Blue Hill. I'm your host, Carrie Clark, and today we are talking with Cheyenne about the power and control tactics they noticed when reading the Folk of the Air book series by Holly Black.
There's other issues of consent in these books where, like, Jude just kisses Cardin without his consent, knowing that he won't like it, like specifically because she knows he would not like it. And that is a problem. And I think that's something we see in a lot of media, of like kissing someone to shut them up without first figuring out if that's what they want or if that's okay, instead of listening to what you have to say.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting too, because I feel like because Jude is a girl and Cardin is a boy, it gets looked at much differently. Whereas if a boy was doing that to a girl, then it's a big deal. But when a girl does it to a boy, it gets kind of glossed over, or they're told to kind of suck it up, or like, why are you upset over this? It's just as upsetting.
That's a perfect point there, is that because it's Jude that has the most control in the second and third books, that it is glossed over. The power control is definitely glossed over. But if you switched those roles, if you saw a boy or a man having total control over their female partner and forcing them to obey them and humiliating them and kissing them without their consent, you'd probably be a little more concerned and feel a bit more threatened by that. But because it's a girl, it's a bit more okay. And that, you know, perpetuates the idea that women and girls can't abuse boys and men, which is it's plainly not true. It definitely happens. And that also, that these depictions make it much harder for boys and men to ask for help, because it's seen as silly that a girl can't be abusing you or controlling you, or you should like the way they're treating you and things like that. Or it's seen as like sexy to like be controlled by this woman, this strong, powerful woman. And in other contexts, that might be true if there's consent and conversation happening, but that's not what's happening here. And I think that, you know, that happens later in the series, where there gets some like steamy bits in the story where like Cardin is begging Jude for things. And I think that's meant to be like a sexy thing. But I think if we take a step back from that and take a bigger picture of like what has led up to this and all of the control and coercion that's been happening, and if we flip those roles, we might feel a lot different about it.
It does seem to come out of almost left field. It's like, or he's telling her during those steamy moments, right? He's like, say it to me, say it again. And he's asking her, demanding that she tell him that she hate him over and over again while they're in this very, very romantic situation. And I'm like, if that was happening in real life, I feel like that just seems icky and mean and not okay.
I know. And Carden says at one point, "I hate you so much, I can hardly think of anything else." That's not something you want your partner to say to you, like, right? Like, that's not
And I
what
don't.
I want to aspire to. I wouldn't want my spouse to say that to me. I'd feel really sad.
No, but I feel like in the book, it's supposed to be like this sexy romantic thing. That's how they're portraying it.
Yeah, there's a lot of like this idea that saying horrible, mean things to each other is banter and like ups the sexual tension. But I think in real life, if people were saying that to you, I don't think you would like that. I don't think it would feel sexy. I think it would make you like doubt yourself. That's something we also have to think about is like the stuff that's happening in books. If we put that in a real life setting, how would that actually make us feel?
I think that is very important to keep in mind for sure. Did you have any other examples from any of these books? Because there's a lot of
There
stuff.
is. I know in book three, Jude slaps Carden in the face. And so there we have physical violence. And again, because she's a woman, we see that as like not as big of a deal. Like that's just something girls do. Like I know when I was a youth educator at Next Step, that was something that I came up against in one of the presentations I gave was the girl said that, well, it wasn't abusive that she slapped her boyfriend because he did something she didn't like. And I'm like, so if he slapped you in the face, would that be abuse? And she goes, of course it would. I'm like, so why is it different if you do that? It's not more acceptable because you're a girl. That's not a lesser thing. That's still physically violent.
Why the role reversal?
Yeah, and I think we see that a lot where the woman slapping the man is trivialized a lot in media. You see that a lot in TV shows and movies where like the man says something that she doesn't like or cheats on her or does something and you just see like the slap in the face and that's just like glossed over as like something women do.
Or
Like,
sometimes it's even portrayed as comedic. I think that
yeah.
I've seen that. Like they'll say something to a woman and she slaps the man for it, and there's like a laugh track.
Yeah. And again, putting that in real life, like if you slap someone, like they're gonna be really upset. They're not gonna think that that's funny or cute or deserved, no matter what happened, because people don't deserve to be slapped, no matter what they did. So it's just incongruous, like that this is seen as normal and okay in TV shows, but in real life, that would be a real problem for anybody that that happened to. And I know at some point in the third book too, Jude admits that she fears Carden and has feared him the entire time. And so again, we have that back and forth of the power and control, and Jude fears Carden. She's doing a lot of what she's doing out of fear. And we need to not normalize fear in a relationship. You shouldn't be afraid of your partner. That's not a normal thing.
I felt that when she said, "I've been terrified," and he banishes her, and then she's just kind of left to wonder, like, why did he do this to me? What is going to happen if I go back? And she's scared. And I thought that was very telling because up until this point, and there was a lot of the back and forth between who has control over who, but she's genuinely scared of him. And that's just not something that should ever be happening in your relationship. You should never feel afraid of your partner.
I don't think it's bad to show that not all relationships are healthy, but I think you have to depict that in a way where it's clear that those behaviors are not okay and depict somebody questioning that and asking for help so that people know that they can ask for help when those things happen.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's a way to do both. I think there's a way to have that entertainment value and those negative things happening because they do happen in real life, but then showing a way where we can ask for help or showing healthy ways to have that conflict resolution in a way that doesn't escalate into violence, whether that's physical or emotional or verbal or otherwise, is just so important that people can learn how to be in relationships. Relationships in healthy and equal ways rather than the opposite.
I don't think Jude and Carden's relationship is one we should be striving for. I think at the end, I think in the last book, they kind of figure it out a little bit.
I think that's problematic too, though, right? A lot of the times, even with this series, right, this relationship is successful. They end up together in the end. they do work everything out and they have that equality happening, but it was how they got there that is the problem. And I think that if they had had healthy communication from the get-go and they had had a level of respect and kindness and understanding, they could have arrived at the same destination without treating each other so poorly and trying to gain control over each other.
Sets unrealistic standards for how those relationships actually play out. Like, if you start out not respecting each other and humiliating each other and trying to have power control over one another, it probably isn't going to end with you both being equal partners in the relationship.
Absolutely. Can you remind everybody where they can find you again on Bookstagram?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram at queer_bookworm. And bookworm is spelled with a Y, not an O.
What kind of books do you typically read and post about on there?
I mostly read and post about science fiction and fantasy, as evident by this entire conversation. I read a lot of fantasy. I read a lot of young adult fantasy and sci-fi. So there's a lot of that. You'll find a lot of queer book recommendations on my page. I read a lot of diverse authors. So there's a lot of different things that you can find on my page. Every once in a while, I'll read some nonfiction or something completely outside my genre, but mostly it's fantasy.
Anything else that you would like our listeners to keep in mind while they're reading their favorite books?
Just be mindful of the kind of relationship you're reading. Is your enemies to lovers having elements of the power and control wheel on it? Are people being mean to each other? Is this realistic? Is what you're reading, if you put it in real life, how would that make you feel? Think critically about what you're reading. Not everything you read is what's really true in real life.
I'd like to thank Cheyenne for being our guest speaker this month and having this conversation about power and control in the relationships we read about. You have been listening to Relationship Rewind. I'm your host, Carrie Clark, and I hope you'll join us again next month on the third Tuesday from 4:30 to 5, where we will be continuing this conversation and breaking down another relationship in popular media. You can also listen to our live stream or subscribe to our podcast at weru.org or on the WERU smartphone app. We are also now on Spotify and Apple Music. If you are a young person in Maine who is interested in being a guest speaker on the show, have ideas of media we could talk about, or you know of a young person who might be interested, please reach out to me at cclark@nextstepdvproject.org. If you need support or would like to learn more about dating violence or domestic violence, please reach out to us at Next Step by calling our 24/7 helpline at 1-800-315-5579. As mentioned, you can find Cheyenne's Bookstagram at queer_bookworm. That's queer_BOOKWYRM.